Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we have a big old beef with Joe Biden. We're going to settle that shit once and for all. Round number two, astronauts are back at it again, this time with their little Frenchy boy demands with some they need some French cuisine while they're in space because all of a sudden astronaut ice cream isn't good enough. Go to space camp once, you fucking astronaut pussies. How about that? Stop complaining that you need lobster and beef bourguignon and all kinds of shit. You're not Julia Child. You're an astronaut. You used to be a fighter pilot, probably. Grow up. Round number two. No, as you were. Round number three. Damn, that was a very smooth as you were. My God. Round number three, it's with a heavy heart that we announce that the DOD is back at it again with their weirdo ways of promoting sexual assault prevention. I don't know how they keep doing this shit, man. Like, how do you keep having cake parties and coffee get-togethers and all kinds of stuff? It's not a third grade birthday party, is it, Collins?
No, it's certainly a very serious topic.
It's a pretty serious topic. Stop trying to give people snacks. This isn't Sunday school where you get a couple of cheap Oreos and a couple glasses of Kool-Aid. Round number four, we're going to talk a little bit about jobs whenever you get out. There's a list of six jobs that are the highest paying trade jobs for veterans when they get out of service. We're going to see if cons can guess those. Round number five, the Russians are attacking Lithuania, not with bombs, but with their words. And we'd be remiss if we didn't remind the listener that sticks and stones may break your bones, and words, sometimes they hurt even worse. And all that's going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3G. They won't ever hurt you or leave you dismayed like those Russians in the embassy. They're not going to do that to you. They're going to leave you feeling nice and spry and giggly when you're watching any kind of show on the old inner tubes. You can relax at night and just sit back and relax and love smoking that and eating cookies. Our guy Doug's, man. Did you see Doug'sy boy after he ate his first THC cookie?
Yeah, that thing you said about him. Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt. It's so polite.
If you haven't seen it, go to KFC Radio's YouTube. Our guy Doug's is just like the most gentle creature of all time. And he had his first cookie, I believe it was on April 21st, which is 3G Day. And he sat back, ate a whole ass THC cookie. And you could tell, like, this is, you know, when somebody has a complaint that they've been sitting on for a while, when you're just a nice person and you don't want to complain. Like, I've been to restaurants where people do that. Like, one of my buddies would never, ever complain to a server at all. And he ordered a steak medium rare, and it came out essentially black and blue. And if you go to a nice steakhouse, getting a black and blue steak, fine. Like, that's fine. But if you're at, like, the middle of a road spot, like a chain steak restaurant, black and blue, probably not the way to go there.
No. So
it came out and he was trying to eat it. And it was just, he got like halfway through and he's like, you know, I can't do it. And the waiter came back over and he was like, I'm sorry, but I've never done this in my life, but I have to send it back. And he showed the guy the steak. He's like, that's not even black and blue. That's just essentially raw. I'm like, I'm sorry that happened. That's what Doug's face looked like whenever he was like, I'm just really thirsty, guys. I'm just really thirsty. And if you haven't tried 3G, it will make you thirsty. So have a little bit of water sitting beside your bed, maybe in a Yeti cup that is christened with the 4Play logo or something like that. Go to 3G.com. You're going to enter the promo code. What's the promo code, Cons? Do you know off the top of your dome? Because I closed out the old fucking...
Sure do not. Do not have that open.
Oh, sweet. Good on me. Oh, here it is. So the promo code actually is ZBT2021. You're going to get 5% off your order with ZBT2021. Go to 3G.com. We love it. You must be 21 years old to purchase. It has gummies, it has vapes, it has tinctures, it has all kinds of shit. They're formulated by a biochemist. Check it out, 3chi.com, promo code ZBT2021. Let's get started with the show.
You know, hold on real quickly.
Go ahead.
You mentioned the cheap Oreos at the church camp.
Hydrox, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was in line at the supermarket the other day, and I saw this box of cookies. They're Oreos, they're not Hydrox. They're tuxedos. Have you heard of these?
Fancy.
No, I've never heard of tuxedos. Is that like a dollar store special?
Yeah, I'm showing you guys on the screen right now.
I gotta say, that looks better than Oreo.
It looks better than Hydrox, yeah. Too. And that fancy name, tuxedo, come on.
Did you buy them?
Those ridges right there, prime. Like,
occasionally back in the day, well, this is really like an RX special. Like what the two snacks that I used to love to eat so I wouldn't have to go to the chow hall that much. I don't know. Did you guys get enormous shipments of Girl Scout cookies?
Yes.
So yes. Girl Scout cookies were everywhere and it was a legitimate lifesaver. Like you walk in and there's a fresh shipment of Girl Scout cookies. You were like, oh, hell yeah. So this one, it was the Tagalongs. That's the one with the peanut butter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Tagalongs, I would take Tagalongs and a thing of like just regular creamy peanut butter and give it extra peanut butter. Like use it like nachos with the peanut like butter there.
Peanut butter infused Tagalongs. Mm-hmm.
I had that. But if we ran out of Girl Scout cookies, I would go with Oreos. Those ones, the tuxedos, look like they have perfect ridges for like getting the peanut butter, just the right amount.
Yeah, that's true. You know who else really liked Oreos and peanut butter?
Who?
Haley and I'm blanking on the other girl's name. Haley and the girls from The Parent Trap.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. It's shocking that Lindsay Lohan didn't end up in superstardom. And also shout out to Lindsay Lohan. I was talking about Nip Slips last night on Twitter, and she was like the original perfecter of just this subtle, tasteful Nip Slip.
Hmm. Yes. She was quite the connoisseur of those.
She was. I had a fantastic weekend. I'm back full out into the old barbecue game. I was cooking it up this weekend. It was lovely here. It was like 92 degrees on Saturday and Sunday, not a cloud in the sky. My new spot has like a beautiful breeze that rolls through. We were spending the day at the pool. It was awesome, man. Like it's nice to have some place that's hot as shit, but you could also swim. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I would ever call 92 comfortable, but I guess it's better than 102.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be dipping my toes in here pretty soon. I sent you guys a little screenshot of the weather. 95 is on the forecast already, 97. Soon it's going to be over 100 every damn day, and that's not going to be enjoyable at all. I cannot. But that being said, I've been hooking up with these dudes. Hanging out with these fellas from Judd's Barbecue, and they've been showing me all these different beef recipes, and it got me thinking. Beef was big time in the news this weekend with people, I guess, just extrapolating what happened with Joe Biden. Did you see all those memes that were coming out about meat and shit, Cons?
No, actually, I didn't. I was off my phone a lot this weekend.
Okay, so I'll break it down. Round number one, this is a story that is from old Joe Biden. Joe Biden, he went on and he was talking about like global warming and shit like that. So on April 22nd, and this one comes from Snopes. So on April 22nd, the US President Joe Biden gave remarks at the virtual leaders summit on climate, in which he framed a nationwide effort to curb greenhouse emissions as an opportunity for millions of good paying middle class union jobs by investing in new jobs. Biden said he hopes that the United States can have its greenhouses cut in half by 2030. The United States isn't waiting, Biden said. We are resolved to take action not only in our federal government, but in our cities and states all across the country, small businesses, large corporations, the American worker in every field. I see an opportunity to create millions of good-paying middle-class union jobs. I see line workers laying thousands of miles of transmission lines for clean, modern, resilient grid. I see workers capping hundreds of thousands of abandoned oil and gas wells that needs to be cleaned up and an abandoned coal mines that need to be reclaimed, putting a stop to the methane leaks and protecting the health of our communities. And he just goes on and on about what they're going to do and adding all these jobs. And driving around San Antonio and Texas in general, the way that the energy sector can adapt and come up with new shit, it really is remarkable, man. Like, mm-hmm. Remarkable.
Yeah, and I'm sure you see it a lot more than I do around where I live, just because there's the space to do it.
Well, they have now here in San Antonio. I can only really speak to here because this is what I've seen lately. Any of these farms that are like in danger of going under, because I mean, let's be honest, like the farming industry is struggling without mm-hmm. like subsidizing it from the federal government. There's been a lot of struggle there. So having these farms that are starting to go, like the land isn't really useful for what they had been using it, even for generations. The city of San Antonio has been buying these farms from these farmers and turning it into like solar farms. Mm-hmm. So you could drive down the road and it'll be what used to be potato fields or whatever. And it's just covered in energy grids. Like the people that get paid to put those in, you imagine they're getting paid pretty damn good. Like, that's a good industry to be in.
Yeah, certainly. Anything like that that is just not as, just not as prevalent right now. It just seems like there's a lot more opportunity to be lucrative.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's kind of what Biden was talking about, like that you can do the same things that you had done, and we just need to find a newer way to do it, which is, I mean, that's basically what we've done forever. If we would have just sat on train technology, old Ford wouldn't be making billions of dollars.
Like, that's a good point.
Like, well, we have trains. There's really no reason for cars. Like,
that's a good point. If we had just
destroyed the train industry. Well, we have planes and shit now too. Like, you could get better and adapt.
Yeah, America's never been one to rest on our laurels. So that's interesting. I never even gave thought to that, that they were like, horses, they get us from A to B. Why do we need trains? Well, why do we need cars? We have trains. Oh, that's a good point. But then it begs the question, where does that stop? Or does it ever stop?
Well, that's what the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail took this speech from, because Biden said that there are certain things that we can reduce by 90%. So the Daily Mail ran with that, which I love it. It's kind of like a Barstool Sports kind of take. Like, you put it out there, somebody says something, you're like, oh, well, let me give the smallest example possible to make sure that this argument looks dumb as hell. So the Daily Mail took this and said that if everybody cuts down on what they're eating beef-wise, because beef is supposedly like really bad for the environment too, even though a lot of that's been kind of debunked. So you have... They're saying if you take that and you reduce it by 90%, the average American should only eat 4 pounds of beef. Buddy, you come down to Texas, most folks are eating 4 pounds of beef in a weekend. Like, that's a weekend. That's not a year. You're not going to have that going on. But all because the Daily Mail said that, now all these politicians are quoting it like it's fact. Like, Biden was basically said, listen, if you eat more than 4 pounds of beef, you're going to the gulag.
Yeah, I mean, and there are a lot of parts of this country where, like you said, if that's such a basis for food in terms of their meals, and not so much up here. I feel like up here in the Northeast, it's I don't want to say it's so health conscious, because I don't see anything wrong with red meat, but people are more into other stuff. And like, now the big thing is becoming the meat substitute, the impossible meats of
the world.
Fuck
that, man. Mm-hmm. No.
Fuck all of that. Fuck all like of that.
If you have all, there's it no tastes way good. That stuff is healthier.
It tastes good.
Right?
Well, I don't know if it's healthier. It tastes fine.
Can't be. Like, if you go and you get a hamburger and it's like one of those Morningstar burgers or whatever, and you look at what the ingredients are, it looks like you're looking at the back of a shampoo bottle. Like, it's not, like, that shit's not natural. And then if you get a beef one, it's like, what are the ingredients here? Well, it's beef. Like, that is the ingredients. That's like the Ron Swanson thing on Parks and Recs, where Chris Traeger was trying to have the competition where he made like a turkey burger and all this fancy shit. And then Ron Swanson just takes a slab of like 89% beef and grills it up and doesn't put any condiments on it. And they're like, oh yeah, this is better. This is better than what you just had. Yeah. Cause turkey burgers stink out loud. They're terrible.
And then Chip ate some of it. And he was like, oh my God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, freshly exactly purchased right. from what was his store? Meat and stuff, meat and things.
So you have all these people that are saying crazy shit now based on this article. One of the former, I think it was President Trump's financial advisor or something like that. He said, next thing you know, Biden's going to start making us drink vegetarian beer. What beer are you drinking with meat in it, pal?
Yeah. You drinking that beef-based beer?
It's like from wheat already. Wheat and corn. Like, where? What do you mean? Hops. There's no fucking hops that you're shooting with bow and arrow. Like, no, running through the old woods.
Definitely not. I don't know why, but Biden strikes me as somebody who sits down every night and has a big old T-bone with a baked potato and half a stick of butter. And despite the fact that, you know, Dr. Biden's telling him, Joe, you got to cut down your cholesterol and this, that, and the other. And he says, don't tell me my business, woman. And then he just continues to eat his meat and potato, and that's that. So it's just kind of funny.
If you could go out to any style of restaurant with Joe Biden, what restaurant would you go to?
Man, you know what? I'd probably go Mexican, because I bet you he gets wacky off some marks.
Oh, I bet he fucking, and the way that he pronounces like a lot, like enchiladas, I bet he doesn't pronounce anything even remotely close to correctly. I would go with, imagine old Joe going to hibachi.
Oh my gosh. You see him like getting the sake squirted in his mouth.
Having that. I mean, I would just, his face, he would be tickled pink watching that onion train go by.
He brings his own conductor hat for when they're pushing the train across.
Wait till
he breaks out the onion volcano.
You're not going to see this type of thing at Taco Tuesday. Watch him. Watch what he does with this egg. He's going to flip this thing up and it's going to catch on the side of the spatula. I told you, he caught it on the side of the spatula. Unbelievable. He did it again. Throw me a shrimp. There is no greater feeling at a restaurant than when you're sitting at a hibachi table and the guy throws the shrimp in the air, uh-huh, and you snap, not even where it like hits your tooth, but it just straight down the old pipe.
Yep.
You feel like Jordan. Mm-hmm. It feels like that moment when Dwayne Wade tosses up the ball, yes, to LeBron James and he comes in and dunks it. You feel like that's your restaurant LeBron James moment when you catch that in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Choking on that flip shrimp would be a top five way to die.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Like he went out doing what he loved.
But you got to get up. Because you want people to remember you being the shrimp guy, not the guy who choked. So if you start choking, you got to beeline to the bathroom. You got to get rid of any type of Heimlich maneuver possibility at all. You got to go out on top because you don't want to be sitting there choking. That shit's embarrassing. Oh, have you ever choked in a restaurant where you needed the Heimlich?
No, I can't imagine. That's very fun.
Oh, I did. Golden Corral in Jacksonville, Florida, I did it.
Of all places.
Yeah, they used to have Werther's Originals. Like you could pick from at the end of it, you could have Werther's Originals or you could have peppermint. The Werther Original, people don't talk about the choking hazard because that bad boy is so slippery when it comes out of the package. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to get lubed up or anything. As soon as it hits your tongue, if you laugh or anything, it'll be in the back. I put that sucker in after I probably dominated like a dozen rolls and then it hit my tongue, went straight into the old windpipe. Luckily, my dad was there, gave me the Heimlich maneuver. I shot that Werther's Original across the room.
Yeah, that's got to be an all-time feeling, though, if you save someone with the Heimlich.
Especially your child, dude.
Yes.
Like, oh, shit.
I had to do it with McCartney. McCartney really? Had a hard candy chilling in like just a lollipop, like the little dum-dums. McCartney was probably 3 years old, and the dum-dum head popped off.
Fell off, yeah.
And I had to stop my truck, hop out, get McCartney out of the car seat, and get the candy out. My wife was like, you're like a superhero. Like the way that you just sprung into action and you just act immediately. I was like, yeah, well, that's what war does, babe. Like you don't have time to be sitting around thinking. You got to act.
But I'm thinking even more so like like a stranger. You just see it from across the room and you just react. Because I think most people would just freeze. So that's probably a greatest feat. That's a story you talk about every time you go to a restaurant. Like, hey, did I ever tell you that story about the time I saved someone's life? Yeah, Dad, 12 times.
Yep.
It's almost better.
I gave a janitor at UTSA mouth to mouth. When I was a student, yep.
You're just saving people's lives left and right.
Yeah, my fucking kid, hero. Janitor, I don't care who it is. You're getting saved if you're around me, friend.
Not on Chaps' watch. You're not dying. No, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if it comes down to beef. But the beef prices, don't worry, everybody. You're not going to go to jail if you eat more than 4 pounds of beef. So nobody be nervous about that. But in round number two, people complained about space. We had this one is from, I guess, Paris Today or some shit like that. They say that French astronauts who leave Earth these days don't love leaving the French food behind. I got to say, first off, before we get into this, French food, drastically overrated.
Now, all right, here's what I'm going to say. I've yet to go to France, so I don't know that I can properly judge it until I have it.
No, you live in New York City. You could judge it.
It's not the same because I had Italian food my whole life. Then I went to Italy and I was like, whoa, all right, this is a little different. So
that's fair. Yeah.
I'm not going
to
judge
it. I mean, I guess I just... you have to be in a mood for French food. Like if I got to prepare myself for like 2 weeks. If you're going to tell me I'm going to eat like a fancy French Michelin star restaurant or whatever, I got to know 2 weeks in advance so I can look up the menu, be like excited about the process of how you cook it. You tell me I'm going to get brisket from a barbecue spot, I'm ready to go any time of day. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. You just say like, hey, we're going to go get brisket, I'm in. But if you're like, hey, we're going to go eat some escargot, you got to let me know.
I feel like the other thing too, if you're telling me we're going to French for dinner tonight, all right, let me know what time. So about an hour, 2 hours before, I can get a little warm up snack. Cause I feel like the portions in French cuisine are not that large.
That's true. And I think if you downed a couple glasses of wine, because I think like after glass three and a half of like red wine, you could eat anything.
Yes.
And it's going to taste delicious. Like you just put it in front of you. It's not, as long as it's not like breakfast food, because breakfast food and wine doesn't go together. But just about anything else, I'll eat the shit out of it after I've had a couple glasses. So the French astronauts, which first of all, unbelievable that there's French astronauts. I had no idea.
I'll be honest. I didn't either. I did not.
I honestly thought it was us, China, Russia. I know that they throw in Canada, but I think that's just to be polite. Like the Canadians didn't do anything to fucking deserve to go to space.
No, not at
it
all.
It just happened.
They've been riding our coattails for years now.
Yeah. Like one of our cities has more in population than like half your country. Like you don't deserve to go to space. I never thought France went to space either. Apparently Belgium goes to space. I had no idea. I mean, space waffles, that's got to be fucking fantastic. That's the sun rises. Well, I don't know if the sun rises in space, but the sun's out and you're eating some Belgian waffles with some nice freshly whipped cream.
Come on. Think about that though. That the whipped cream and the syrup situation might get a little dicey with zero gravity.
Oh no. I think it's actually perfect because it's thick. Like if you wanted to have something more watery, it would, like if hot chocolate was your shit, you're gonna have to go without that for a while. But I think you can make syrup work, because this is, we're actually gonna get into that in this article. One of the French astronauts who launch on SpaceX rocket to the International Space Station on Friday will enjoy his 6 month stay in orbit, because guess what he's bringing with him? Lobster, beef bourguignon, cod with black rice, potato cakes with wild mushrooms, and almond tarts with caramelized pears.
You got to be the belle of the ball. You show up with all that. Everybody wants to be your friend. Everybody wants to do tradesies with you when you show up to the space station with all those meals.
I mean, if all you've had is Mark Watney's poop potatoes the entire time that you're up there, and somebody comes up with some beef bourguignon, you could legit do sexual favors.
Yeah.
For that. Like, be like, I will give you a bite of this lobster in exchange for a blowjob.
Mm-hmm. That's a big miss. I need to know what Mark Watney had for his first meal back on Earth after eating poop potatoes for months on end.
That's a good, I would like to know that too. The French guy said, the astronaut, he said, there's a lot of expectations when you send a Frenchman into space. Okay, guy. I'm a terrible cook myself, but it's okay if people are doing it for me. Space cuisine has come a long way since Yuri Gagarin, the Soviet space astronaut who in 1961 was the first to reach space. They used to squeeze pureed beef and chocolate sauce from toothpaste-like tubes, and the food for John Glenn, who was a fucking Marine, went 10 months and later became the first American in orbit, was not tastier. He swallowed some just straight-up applesauce. It was one of the only actual foods that he had was applesauce. Nowadays, astronauts get to share their culinary creations of their countries and the World Space Agency's showing what life is like in hectic space, as astronauts should be able to enjoy a quality meal every now and then. This guy and his crewmates got there and he brought all the fancy food up and they were super stoked about it. One of these new, and for NASA, they're trying to do it too. They're actually trying to do pulled beef brisket, macaroni and cheese, and popcorn.
Hmm.
Popcorn seems very dangerous.
Yeah, those kernels. I'm just thinking, you know, because everybody knows when you pop popcorn, not every kernel gets popped. So there's kernels that are unpopped. All those kernels floating around, they fly into some sort of instrument, get lodged somewhere that they shouldn't. Next thing you know, we got Apollo 13 all over again.
Yep, exactly right. This guy, Richard Philippe, a chef and cooking instructor with Southwest France, heard about this on the radio, and he said that he got his culinary classes to cook up all different types of things and see if they can make it work in space. So now these folks at NASA are trying to send it up there and be fancy like France. They're doing quail, tuna, and lemon confit and other foods that accompany the French astronauts. They're going to do it too now. So they're going to be able to have that as well. And get this. This is the reason why I put this into the sheet. The only astronaut moon food that I think everybody knows about is what?
Dippin' Dots.
The ice cream, right? Yeah. Like the strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate ice cream that they have at the little bars of the museum. Mm-hmm. Listen to this shit. The astronaut at the space station do eat ice cream on occasion. There are freezers on both the spacecraft taking up cargo on the space station at space itself. But it was never, ever the ice cream that you get there. With real ice cream available, there's no need for space for these blocks of chalky Neapolitan ice cream that that parents buy for their children at museums. In fact, in the 60 years of space age, no astronaut has ever even eaten that in space.
I've been lied to my entire life. This is terrible.
This is, honest to God, the adult equivalent of Santa Claus. Like, what? That would have been, if you poll 90, I bet 95% of Americans, if you said, what's the most popular thing consumed in space?
Mm-hmm.
I would bet it would be that ice cream. And then the fact that they never had it, that's egregious.
That's not what you want your country to be telling you. Because even when you go down to Florida, the Cape Canaveral, and they say, hey, eat what the astronauts are eating,
you should get a refund.
Nothing. Yeah.
Because that's the only reason why you would buy that. The only reason why.
Or Tang. I bet they didn't even drink Tang now.
Wow.
This is terrible. If they didn't drink Tang, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah, because I drank that and it was horrible.
You know, I tell you what, you know who this helps? All the conspiracy theorists out there that say we never actually landed on the moon and we just did that shit in some television studio. Now you're going to tell me that NASA's been lying to me about the Dippin' Dots this whole... Well, what else have they been lying about? And I've been a champion of, we have absolutely landed on the moon. We've put man on the moon. But now, NASA, you're not helping my argument here.
You just made our thumbnail for this week's episode.
I mean, it really is shocking that you didn't have that ice cream. And the fact that I do, however, like the fact that the engineers, they have like these cold pockets in the spacecraft where it just lets the coldness of space in. I love the fact that they use that as an opportunity just to store ice cream spots. Like, that's such, like, we're going camping, we have a couple other spots, what do we need to put in here? Let's put some popsicles in right here.
Yeah, definitely need some popsicles after a long space day. What's better than a freeze pop?
Not a whole lot, I guarantee you that. The only thing that it could be better is saving a little bit of money, which you can do if you go to govx.com. The gear destination for professional patriots. GovX membership is available only to American with service-related backgrounds like military, law enforcement, firefighting, emergency medical, and more. There's a huge arsenal of gear and apparel waiting for you from top brands like Oakley, Garmin, North Face, Under Armour, and more. The recreational gear, professional technical equipment, smart watches, and backpacks, it's there for some badass activity you absolutely live for, and GovX has the gear for it. Are you into knives? They got knives there too. You can get a good deal on it. All this stuff for a limited time. Get 15% or $15 off your first order of $50 or more with the coupon ZBT15. It's a pretty great thing. Like, I didn't know that you had this website that will go in and essentially verify the fact that you were a veteran or police or firefighter or whatever, and you get money off. It seems foolish not to do it.
Yeah. No, you're brain dead if you don't take advantage.
Yeah, so if you want to take advantage, go to govx.com, enter the promo code ZBT15, and you're going to get $15 off your first order of $50 or more. It's a pretty great deal. Make sure you check that out. Let's move into round number three. This one comes to us straight from the source. So people that aren't in media or people that don't have to like credit other spots, you might not know this, but the military has like their own website where they publish their PAO stories, they publish videos that they take, and it's open source, like where you don't have to credit it really. You can just take it and use it. It's free use, it's open use. And they put out these kind of press briefings that is just supposed to be good news and make the service branches look great. Well, they did this with the 28th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade's deployment to the Middle East. They also had a sexual harassment and assault response and prevention team found a way to serve their soldiers. And this is the exact language that this press release has. A small compound here is home to the 28th ECAB Chaplain's Office, Equal Opportunity Office, and the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. Usually these offices are places of crisis and counseling where soldiers and leaders can come for a consultation and advice during times of duress. But every Tuesday, there is a smell of fresh coffee and snacks and sound of live music, conversation, and laughter. The counselors and advocate who run this ad hoc coffee shop call it the Teal Bean Cafe. Teal is the army color representing sharp and has the bean and the gourmet coffee that makes it an unlikely gathering spot for soldiers to come and relax for a while. All coffee, hot tea, and hot chocolate and snacks are free from the soldiers who stop by. They say, we wanted to not only raise awareness about sexual harassment and assault, but to have them in a fun and relaxing environment. What are we doing? What, I mean, what are you, like, it's why? Just why? Who is going to be like, you know what? I got sexually assaulted. I want to talk to the chaplain about it, but I'm only going to do it if there's free tea.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Tea Tuesdays before I go give my complaint. This is unbelievable. This is a clear example of people outthinking the room. They're thinking, how do we get people more comfortable? Well, we make the environment more comfortable. Well, there's ways to do that and make the environment more welcoming without turning it into a party and making it something to where people feel obligated to show up on Tuesdays.
This sounds like somebody, the way that they word this, it sounds like somebody's gearing up to write themselves
big time. Teal Tuesdays, Teal Bean Tuesdays, Teal Bean Coffee House.
They said it's really grown. When we started, it was just a coffee shop, a couple Pop-Tarts, and a granola bars. Now we have people in organizations sending us all kinds of snacks, and we have live music from the Sandwalk Prophets, the ministry worship team. In addition, the Teal Bean has a member FreeX where soldiers can pick up toiletry, snacks, and assorted items at no cost. The items are donated by different organizations. There is no chance this isn't going to be listed on somebody's NCOERs or their award citations. I got the sexual assault coffee shop busted up from Pop-Tarts, and now we're having toaster strudels.
it's just nuts, though, too, because I think this is great. This is something that I applaud leadership for doing just in general when you're deployed. Anything you can do to make your soldiers feel more at home, I support that and creating this environment. But you don't do it under the veil of this is part of the SHARP program. Like they need to be two separate entities. Like create the coffee shop, but then, you know, maybe you have the sexual assault and harassment prevention team working on other ways to make people feel comfortable about bringing up any sort of incidents that happened or if they've felt uncomfortable. The mixing of the two here is not exactly kosher, in my opinion.
Well, this is a very common practice in like the SHARP world. I think it's because once you get to high ranking positions like a brigadier general, colonel, you don't have enough people in your ear telling you that idea is fucking stupid.
Yes.
Like you just don't. And that's one of the reasons why I think in a lot of these cases, if you make the commanding general who makes a terrible decision go testify in front of Congress and explain the reasoning behind it, you'll have people thinking a lot more about their decisions instead of just some sergeant major sucking this colonel's dick because they thought it was a good idea to do it. A prime example in the SHARP world for this is the scare tactic rooms, where it's essentially like those murder mystery rooms, but for sexual assault. Have you seen these that they're having?
No.
They are having legitimately, like two of the people that we follow, both, I think all of us follow, Lady Loves Taft, Kelsey is her name, and then you also have Lethality Jade. They were both talking about it, that at their units, they have these organizations that they want to have almost scare rooms of sexual assault, sexual harassment, almost kind of, I would guess it would be like the sexual assault version of shoot, don't shoot training scenarios.
Yeah.
And they're requiring people who are in SHARP, like that do the SHARP counseling services, or they're like the SHARP liaison. They're requiring these people to go, not realizing, or maybe realizing and not giving a fuck, that a lot of the people that are in these positions have been sexually assaulted or harassed themselves. And so many of them are like, fuck no, I don't want to do that. Like, why would I put myself in that position where I have to feel that way again? What in the hell are we doing?
And what do they hope to gain? Like putting people in scenarios where they can be trained to make the right decision in the future?
It is a tough spot to be in for leadership, because I think one, you have to do things outside the box. If you do it just a traditional PowerPoint brief, nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. Like you're not doing that stuff, but then you can't go all the way to the other end either. And you can't have your training be boring. Like you're really in, it shouldn't take all kinds of creative ways to say, stop sexually harassing and assaulting your peers.
Exactly. That's the point. It shouldn't need to be this, this grandiose training that's revolutionary. It's basically comes down to just be a good person and treat others with respect.
But that's also not enough.
Right.
Like you, that also is not, it's the same thing with the racial tensions. Like you can't just say, don't be racist, because no one, you even asked David Duke, like the Ku Klux Klan guy. Like if you asked him, he would probably say, no, I'm not racist. Yeah. Nobody admits to being racist.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And nobody thinks they're going to, or not, maybe not nobody, but I'm sure some people who have sexually assaulted others, if you had asked them prior to, they would have said, oh yeah, I would never do that. And then next thing you know,
very much the Matt Lauer like situation where he's like, oh no, these are all consenting people. No, they weren't.
Yeah.
They told you that they weren't.
Yeah. That's a good point too. That's a good example, especially because when you get into places of power where you then perceive someone to be consenting when in fact they're just scared for their job or for their well-being, and they're just willing to do whatever you say just to get out of there faster.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to round number four. Let's clean it up a little bit there, military folks, about your fucking sexual assault training. So there is an article that is floating around about the six different jobs that you can have, the highest paid skilled trade jobs for veterans separating in 2021. So this is from military.com, and it's Blake Stillwell wrote it. He said there was a time when those who opted for skilled jobs training instead of a college degree were looked down upon. Somehow Americans began to believe that a four-year college degree was the only way forward on a path to economic prosperity. That's big time true. Like, you don't have enough. There's plenty of kids who parents know, my son, my daughter, my whoever, they are dumb. They should not be going to college. Like, there's, everybody thinks that everybody needs to go to college, and that's just simply not true.
No, that's not true. But how difficult is that as a parent to just, you know, accept, all right, maybe my kid, like, not everyone can be in the, you know, in the 95th percentile of their students.
But everybody thinks their kids are, man. Like, yeah. You will never find a parent who doesn't think that their kid is, quote, gifted, or that they're above their peers or something like that. Honesty among parents is a terrible trait. One of my friends, I gained respect so much for one of my friends. They realized early on that their son probably not like an academic genius, like we're not going to go to like Harvard or Yale, not in danger of that at all. And from like middle school, they said you'd really need to focus in on math and sciences, because we really want you to go into like plumbing, because they're always going to need a plumber. You're always going to need an electrician. And those jobs get paid really well if you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially you get into a union, you get protected. Absolutely.
And so they started teaching their kid, like, we need to find a trade school like welding or whatever for you to go into, because that's where your skill set lies. And people don't just take their skill set and make it work for them. Like, they, so many people just want to go to college, and everybody wants to do a job that involves college education. But in reality, the people who are willing to work hard and put some sweat equity is so much lower than people who are willing to sit in a cubicle all day. So if you have these skills, you're going to make a pretty good little penny. And this article goes for that. So they have put out the six top trade jobs that you can get and what you'll to earn the most money. Do you want to take a guess at what these are, Cons?
All right, I would say something has to do something with IT.
This is very specific jobs, so you can't give like industry. Like, you can't say IT.
Okay, any job that involves writing code. I don't know what that would
be
called.
These are trade jobs too, so more physical. Okay, not technical.
Okay, certainly an electrician, I think.
Okay. Yep.
Shit. What else is there?
I've got one.
Go ahead.
Underwater welding.
Oh, that one's not on there, but that's good.
Yeah. Welder.
Welder's good. That one's not on the list, but you can make a shit ton of money welding for sure.
Do we have plumbers in the military?
Plumbers? No, but this is like transitioning out. Plumbers is the number one answer. Good job, Cons. We're doing a little
really
family feud action.
Number one answer.
Good answer.
There. So we have plumbers, pipe fitters, and steam fitters. This group of skilled trades installs repairs that assemble pipe systems to move liquid and gases in many economic sectors and industry. government, manufacturing, and construction are just a few where they are required. As of May 2020, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics says the median annual wage for plumbers just starting out, $58,000. In some areas of the country, the top 10% of wage earners for the plumbers can earn up to six figures a year.
There you go.
Not college educated, pulling six figures. Pretty damn good.
Damn. Yeah, I think that more and more is certainly we've seen started to at least the college bubble. I think that's going to burst. It has to with the amount of money that is spent on a college education. And then for however many years, if you don't have a parent that can pay for your college education, you got to pay for yourself. The amount of debt that you're in for however many years, it's like the return on investment just doesn't make sense. So that I think that
and
bubble's
I could
gonna
see
burst.
It if like that return on investment, if you went to, let's say like MIT or Cal Polytechnical, like if you went to one of the main engineering technical schools and you mm-hmm. got a degree from there, that's a huge like step to yes. get in anywhere. Like if you want to work in that industry, you have a degree from there, you could do it. But if you're not going to go to like MIT or one of the high end schools, there's no way you could justify the difference of paying $30,000 a year versus 12 at a state school. No way.
Yeah, it's just a name. It's just a diploma a lot of times is a foot in the door and some sort of network. But I think I mentioned it before, but I watched on that college documentary, the one gentleman who was in admissions said, you can more or less get a very good education at any one of the 3,000 plus colleges in this mm-hmm. country if you so want to.
I mean, look at Barstool, for example. Everybody's essentially doing the same job. And you have folks that went to Harvard. You have folks that went to UNC. I went to UTSA. You have Fordham. Like basically all the schools, any type of school, a shitty state school or a great private school, everywhere in between. And everybody's doing the same exact job.
Yeah, that's a good example. Certainly some people. No, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. You're right. Yeah. I agree with you.
Say
no, it. I was just going to say, like, I'll use Rigsden as an example. When you look at you look at Foreplay and you look what he's built, I have to imagine some of the things he's learned at Harvard were aided in him and making
like
that.
How to make golf buddies.
Yes. It's like, yeah, but hey, that's one of the things you learn at Harvard. I think they have a class for that.
Like week one.
Yeah.
I wish it was Harvard Riggs and he would have done, like, let's say a bowling podcast with Carl. Like, let's see how good your Harvard education does there when you're not taking one of the rich boy sports out yeah. there. The second one, elevator mechanics. I would have never thought that would have been a top one.
No, I would not have guessed that. But when now I think to New York City and all the commercial spaces and all the buildings in general, basically anywhere you go actually in the country, there's buildings with elevators. So that makes
unless
a lot
you're
of
in
sense.
Montana, they only have two.
That's crazy.
There's only two buildings with an elevator in all of Montana.
That's
or maybe it's escalators.
It's escalator.
Yeah, I think it's escalator.
It's escalator because I remember that because there was something about India a while back that these kids would take long field trips like hours out of the way to just ride the one escalator in India at a mall. And it was just beautiful. It was like watching these kids at Dollywood on roller coasters going up and down an escalator.
So the pipe fitters, their average income, $58,000. The elevator mechanics, their median income, $88,000 is where they come in.
That's impressive.
But you have to imagine if you're an elevator mechanic, you're living in a city that's bigger. So you're probably going to have a higher threshold at the beginning anyways, because mm-hmm. the cost of living is going to be greater in those cities. Yeah. Next one, power line technicians. That mm-hmm. median income is $68,000. Pretty damn good. Power line installers and repairs with high voltage. That's a dangerous job. Next one. This one, I think if you're going to go in the military with the perspective of getting a job after and using your skills, airplane mechanic is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you can walk in, if you're an airplane mechanic, go to any airport and be like, hey, I have military training and aircraft maintenance. I would bet you get the job like right away.
Yeah, obviously there's so many planes. And then I bet you that's pretty lucrative working for a smaller private airline, you know, like these net jets or marquee jets. That's got to be pretty lucrative to work
now,
on
what
those.
If you were the airplane mechanic and like enlisted airplane mechanic, and then when you got out, you used your GI Bill to become a small craft pilot where you could be a one-stop shop for one rich person. We're like, look, not only am I going to fly you everywhere and be your pilot, but I'll also be your personal mechanic. I know how to do it all.
So I'm saving you money. I'm paying an additional person. Yeah, that's the dream right there. Because then you get to go to a lot of cool places too, because you've got to just wait around for the guy when he's ready to go home. So I'm not sure. I doubt he makes you just sit in the plane for days on end. So you probably get to go explore wherever it is he has to go.
Dude, did you know that certain, like, I was hanging out with somebody that used to be like the commanding officer of an air station, a Marine Corps air station, where they had like helicopters and shit. They have so many hours that they're supposed to fly, and they could take government helicopters and go places just for like training. This dude used to set up his flights where he would go from San Diego up to Oakland area to go. He was a Raiders fan and would go to the Raiders games, like park the helicopter at like a small airfield up there, fly up there on the weekend, go to the Raiders game, get back in the helicopter and fly back the next morning. And that would be his training flights.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Amazing. I guess the like only
using the government for your own personal good and not doing anything wrong, because you have to get those training flights in and it has to be approved by somebody so that they know what you're doing, and who cares what you're doing whenever you're off and you're not going during the work week. So you could be back to do your commander officer shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess the only drawback is you can't have a few beers at the game, but that's not that
well,
big
if you're
of a
going
deal.
Back the next morning.
Oh, true. If you're going the next morning, then you absolutely can.
Because you can only fly so many hours. So if you right. had like your 4 or 5 hour flight up there, you got to take your break overnight and then you fly back the next morning. Not a bad gig. And wow. you'll get the government rate on your hotel room.
Wow. Wow. There are ways around everything. And that seems to be a good way to figure out how to beat that traffic in and out of Raider games.
Yep. The fifth job, Boilermaker. I had no idea that that was still a thing.
I didn't know that that was a thing at all. What does a Boilermaker even do? Make boilers?
A Boilermaker, thank you for asking, is a skilled job assembling, installing, and maintaining boilers, vats, and other containers for liquid and gases. So I guess they just basically do, like, boiler shit. That's exactly yeah. what it says.
That makes sense. It's interesting to me that I don't really give thought, because this is, like, so far outside my world.
Right.
That I don't give thought that, obviously, somebody has to make the boilers. I just never even thought about who was that person doing that.
It's bizarre that there's so many jobs out there that you think are like just wildly unique, but mm-hmm. somebody has to do it in every single city. Every yeah, single city, somebody has to do this. Kind
there's
of
not like three guys who just fly around the country and make boilers. There's a lot of boiler makers yeah, out there.
You got to call them up and be like, hey, we got some shit going on with your boiler. Like, well, you and a lot of other people, buddy, get in mm-hmm. line.
Get
take
in line.
A, take a fucking
take a number.
I'm 8 months out.
And the last of the rich people jobs, if you're going to be entrailed, would be a geological and petroleum technician. These skilled tradespeople assist their scientists' counterparts in exploring areas for natural resources. They also build and maintain, repair the equipment and machinery used to extract those sources. I know a ton of dudes who got out of the Marine Corps and went into the oil fields because they are not averse to danger. And mm-hmm. one of them, this dude, did 2 tours to Iraq, 1 tour to Afghanistan as a bomb dog handler, came back completely fine, never got injured, was out in the oil fields for like 2 months, lost his leg.
Oof, that sucks.
Like one of the, have you seen those videos where the people on the oil rigs are like working these huge chains, like their fucking dental string and just yeah. tossing them around?
Yeah.
Well, incredible. One of them went down, wrapped around this guy's leg and pulled it essentially like a boa constrictor and just completely cut off the circulation. They couldn't get the chain off, and it essentially snapped his knee off above the kneecap. By the time he got to the hospital, he said that it was just like hanging on by like tattered shreds of skin.
That is not what I wanted to hear to end this round.
So you're going to make 56 median a year, but you might walk away without a leg. I guess no, walk away. Get rolled away.
Oh man, that one. Maybe we should move on.
Yeah,
but that video is incredible. That one that was going viral for a while. That was just—I mean, it was just work sex. It was.
Oh yeah, beautiful. Those dudes are fucking hot. You watch somebody do that, even if you don't have like a natural propensity to want to suck dick. Mm-hmm. I think when that dude was out there swinging those chains, you change your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to round number five. This one is about sucking dick too, but it's about the Russians. The official Twitter account of the Russian embassy in Belarus today took a swipe at the Lithuanian foreign affairs minister. His name is Gabrielius Grandisburgis. With the penis joke after he expressed solidarity with the Czechs and expelled two employees of the embassy from Russia. The Russian embassy said that the tweet was in response to the tweet in which he extended his support to the European countries and announced the expulsion of two Russian diplomats. Everybody is kicking Russians out of their country. And I don't blame you. You're Russian. Get the fuck out of here.
I think people are starting to really realize, and I don't know, maybe Putin listens to this podcast. Maybe he doesn't. But the old adage that they're the big bad guy on the block, I think that's being dispelled more and more.
Well, we talked about that with Kinzinger one time where he was talking about how you have kind of like elite units in Russia who are very capable at combat, like where they are legitimately very good. But then the drop off from like their special forces to everybody else is so extreme that they wouldn't pose a threat at all to America. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with China, like everybody's touting China's Navy. Sure. They have like two or three ships that are amazing. The rest of them, they can barely get them to float. Like they're still not there. They'll probably get there. Don't get me wrong. I think China would definitely get there with the amount of money that they're pouring into it, but they still don't even pour in close to like a quarter of what America does.
Right. But I think that they've just coasted so long on a reputation that's just the understanding and the appreciation around the rest of the world that they're going to do something horrible and they have the capability. But if you just pull back the onion a little bit, you see that, they're not that bad.
Here's the thing. I think we go to war with Russia. I think we win 10 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
However, you take Russian dudes, our military dudes, and you line them up in like a UFC style fighting competition, and it's one versus one, just fisticuffs, I bet they walk out the victor probably 80% of the time.
Why do you think that?
I mean, you live in Russia, you could take a punch to the face. I have no doubt about it. I mean,
you're taking the proverbial punch to the face basically every day waking up in Russia.
The alarm so clock's cold. Just a right cross.
You essentially get breastfed with vodka there. Like there, I would say you might have half of the American military, maybe 40%, who's never been in a fist fight in their life.
Yeah, but probably will talk like they have.
You won't find, I guarantee you won't find many Russians who haven't been in at least one fist fight.
Probably. What do you think the percentage of guys in our military is that wear all the UFC gear, talk about UFC incessantly, that have never actually squared up and punched somebody?
90%.
I would say almost all. I would say a huge portion of it. I mean, you do have like combatives and things like that in all the different branches now where you have to do some sort of like hand-to-hand combat type of training, but it's still not anywhere near what you would need. And that used to drive me bananas. Like hearing some dude that's like a tan belt in Marine Corps martial arts talk about jiu-jitsu like he knows about it. Like, you don't know. Like, dude, you do a rear fucking hand punch and you know how to do a rear naked choke. That's about it.
Yeah.
You can do a hip toss. And whenever you do it, you land wrong. So you're out of breath.
Mm-hmm. They do basic combatives and all of a sudden they're ready to talk like they're Joe Rogan commentating on fights.
Eh. I've always said, you walk onto a battlefield with a group of Marines, you're probably fucked. You walk into a bar fight with a couple good fighters against a bunch of Marines, you'll probably do okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
I think that's fair. So the Russians here, what actually happened here, and the Russians people, they like the folks that are on Russian Twitter, they weren't having it. They weren't very upset. They said it's embarrassing. They said the Russians are being Russians. I admire the honesty in this tweet, but it seems like it's always a dick measuring contest with my motherland of Russia. Why do you think that is? Are we compensating for something? They also said that my apologies to everyone from normal countries reading this shit. Some ill-mannered idiots have seized power in my motherland. Don't worry, I didn't vote for them.
Oh, well, that makes it better. Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for us.
I mean, just all these people in the Russian embassies, but I have to be honest, I don't hate that Russia is using Twitter this way. If, let's say, for example, we go back to the Trump administration or even the Biden administration, if President Biden or President Trump tweeted at the president of China, Xi, and said, suck my dick. That might be the most retweeted tweet of all time.
Probably. It would definitely be received differently from the current administration to the past administration based on experience. But
well, let's talk about it from the perspective of Iran, for example. Mm-hmm. Whenever we killed Soleimani, whenever Iran started complaining that we killed Soleimani, if Trump would have just been like, go fuck yourself, Iran, suck my dick, people would be like, holy shit, that was badass.
Yeah, that's true.
Including me, I've been like, man, that was fucking awesome.
Right, right. That's somebody I can get behind. I appreciate the blunt response.
Or like whenever Pearl Harbor was attacked, if FDR would have took the Twitter and he would have tagged at Emperor Shuto and said, and just did the Joe Bluth, I've made a huge mistake gif, and like, you're going to be feeling like this very soon.
That's what we should do. We should bring back a series where we just create tweets of past military and just like world history events and how the leaders of respective countries would have responded via Twitter. I think that could be very funny. Like FDR Japan, we're coming for that ass. Something like that.
Two bombs.
Yeah. And speaking of something, some old school American badassery, there is a dude, Jack Mandeval, on Instagram. He posted this. I guess it's a clip that's getting kind of a little bit of traction because John Wayne has forever been like the picture of American masculinity, right?
Yeah, right.
Like he's always on the horse. He's got the fucking Marlboro Red in his mouth. He talks slow with a draw and he's ready to shoot you. Well, Jack Mandeville said one of the most ridiculous notions in the contemporary American culture is that one must serve in the military as a prerequisite to patriotic or masculine titles. It's a wretched mindset. But in 1941, as the United States was thrust into World War II, it was the overwhelming moral duty of every able-bodied man in America to do his part and put on a uniform. And that's what a majority of them did from all walks of life and career fields, except for John Wayne. Of many of his excuses for constantly avoiding service as one of the worst wars in history, he said he couldn't break contract that he had with the studio, even though the list of tenured actors, Hollywood industrial personnel, professional athletes, and musicians who broke their contracts do their part is long and well documented. People who were much older and accomplished than him at the time went to war. They did their part, but not old John. No, the epitome of American masculinity is one of the biggest cowards in American history. Fuck John Wayne.
You can't argue with
that. I love that tip.
You can't argue with that.
You really can't, man. Like you had Teddy fucking Ballgame strapping himself to a jet and going out there. Mm-hmm. Teddy Ballgame did it. You better get your ass out there, John Wayne. And I'm not one to say that you have to join to be masculine either. And I agree with Jack on that. But in World War II, it was drastically different what was going on compared to like the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to World War II. I mean, you had dudes that felt like they were going to be left out that were lying at the age of 14 so that they could enlist.
Yeah. When you hear all those stories about how many dudes forged documents just to get in the mix.
Or ladies who legitimately went out like trying to be fucking American Mulan. Like, I'll make a man out of you. They were trying to go out and do their part.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's high time that we exposed John Wayne for the person that he actually was.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought in 2021 John Wayne would be getting canceled for being a coward?
Yeah, well, he was.
Yeah. Don't let the movies fool you. But we're attacking John Wayne.
I don't know what this country's coming to.
Modern America, it'll get you.
Yeah, every time. Right.
Let's move into save rounds and alibis. Grit, we'll start with you. What do you got, pal?
I got nothing.
All right. Cons?
Yeah, I forgot to mention this last week. You wrote a blog about snoozing, and you put a screenshot of a tweet that I put out one time about how I have to set multiple alarms. Now, I just need to be clear on something. That is not because I like to snooze. That is because I'm an extremely heavy sleeper, such that I will hit the snooze while I'm sleeping and not even realizing it, or it'll turn an alarm off. So if I only have one alarm and I turn it off, I'll go back to sleep and then I won't wake up.
That's a lack of discipline. Just a lack of discipline.
All right.
I mean, my wife she's gotten better because her natural like body clock is adapted over the years of after having kids for a decade, you just don't sleep in as late anymore. Yeah. But it used to drive me insane, man. Like I used to have to be at work I'd have to be at work at 5, like whenever we were pulling kennels and pulling dogs and shit yeah. like that. Her alarm, when she didn't have to be anywhere till 8, would start going off before mine did.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
What are we doing? 15, 20 times pushing snooze? Like you're robbing yourself of 2 or 3 hours of sleep. No wonder you're tired all the time.
My wife does that shit now.
I hate that, man. Hate it. I don't believe in the snooze at all. Like if you're going to go, maybe once. You might be able to get away with the snooze once, but any more than that, you're really just fucking yourself over, honestly.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, one snooze when there's like a 9-minute gap in between when it's going to go off again, an extra 9 minutes, that's a difference maker. But anything beyond that, yeah, you might as well have just set a later alarm.
Yeah, I completely agree there.
So that's all I got.
I also agree that Rocky boots are the best boots in the business. I was fucking around yesterday and was going to do this post on ZBT about Rocky boots because we had like a swipe up to do. And I just got this new fire chimney. And instead, like usually when they come from like a bigger charcoal brand, they're super thin, super lightweight, which is great, but they break. I mean, it's super hot coals in there. So they break down after a while. You got to keep replacing them. Well, this one that I got is like quarter inch steel, solid. It's never ever going to break or anything like that. And I was like, oh, look at me in my Rocky boots with a steel toe, I'll be fine. And I was doing it for safety. I shit you not, 2 minutes after I posted that video up on ZBT, that chimney dropped from my new smoker onto my foot. And it weighs like 20 pounds. If I wasn't wearing it, the way that it hit was like at the point of the bottom, it would have definitely smashed my big toe for sure. Wow.
Thank you, Rocky Boots.
Yeah. And I got it for the low key at 25% off, but you can't do it. RockyBoots.com. No matter what branch of the military you're in, no matter what you do, you can use Rocky Boots. Even if you're a dumbass like me barbecuing on the weekend, safety's still paramount whenever there's fire. And there's steel. You got to be safe. That's what I always say. All right. Anything else, Cons?
No, that's all I got.
All right. I don't have much else either. Closing my old house. I was supposed to go to New York this weekend, but the people that are buying the house are like, hey, can we close earlier? We want to get in there. Yeah, you can, because I would have had to pay the mortgage for May if you don't. Now I do not have to, which is fantastic.
That's important to not have to pay the mortgage on the house you just sold.
Yeah, I now going back there, it's just like, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's because I've already been in this house for almost 2 months. So going back and forth all the time has just been a pain in the ass.
Wait, it's been 2 months?
Yeah, I've been here almost 2 months.
Where does time go?
What did you do with the stock tank?
The stock tank went to my real estate agent, who's my friend. She has like a homestead here in San Antonio. And her kids are absolute wild cards too. They got like ducks and bunnies and all kinds of like farm animals all over the joint at their place. So they're getting that. And she said it's going to be like part-time kid pool, part-time duck pond, which is awesome.
Yes, that is good. And it's good that you have a normal pool now so I can stop making fun of you.
Yeah, and it was awesome this weekend.
I bet.
It was lovely. Having it, have to have you guys out here soon.
Yeah,
we'll be back on Friday. Have a good week, everybody. It's on the retreat.